unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Hello and welcome to Unwarranted Music Opinions. I'm Jacob Lindberg and I'm here with Brian Courtney.
Hey.
And Chaz Jenkins.
Hello.
And this is a show where we each choose an album. We listen to all of them over the course of a week. And then we convene together to hopefully not murder each other as we give our opinions on those albums. This week we are talking about children's music. Children's albums. And we're going to start off with my pick. I have chosen the 1993 collaborative album with Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead and David Grisman, who is a very well-known bluegrass musician. It's Not for Kids Only. Jerry Garcia, obviously, being a very well-known figure in the music scene, longtime frontman slash co-frontman along with Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. And this album is released in the early 90s, and around this time, this was maybe just a few years before his death, Garcia was just getting increasingly more interested in old-time bluegrass music, just traditional kind of Appalachian stuff, and so he teamed up with David Grisman, who has been around for almost an equally long amount of time in the progressive bluegrass scene, very just acclaimed for his mandolin talent. And so this album, they come together and they record a bunch of children's music, some of them just very old traditional children's songs, standards in that vein, and they release it. The album is called Not for Kids Only, because hopefully more people than just kids will enjoy it. So I'm interested to see what you all have to think about it.
This is an amazing album. I wasn't expecting it at all. This entire experience was pretty surprising to me, but we'll get into that later. But this album in particular, I felt very nostalgic, and I'm going to be saying that word a lot throughout this episode, but this just reminded me, it's after church, we're driving home, and my mom's playing like whatever's on the bluegrass station, and I just got that vibe. It just made me feel like a little kid again. It also just reminded me of like watching weird 70s animated projects, you know what I mean? That's that feeling of the how they move and talk, especially my favorite song, Arkansas Traveler.
Yes.
That's an amazing song. Hi there, stranger. Hey there, stranger. My favorite line is, have you lived here your whole life? Not yet. I was like, damn, did he just say that? These tracks are well played, well sung. I love Grisman and Garcia's voices over these very well, like the production's pretty awesome too. But it just makes me feel like homely, you know what I mean? I don't know how to describe, but Jacob, you were telling us that you listen to this on road trips all the time?
Yeah. Well, when I was maybe 9, we took a family vacation to Arcadia National Park in Maine, and kind of a family tradition was to, every time we went to, on like a road trip to a national park, we just listened to one album the entire time. So like for a week, we would just, you know, the CD, we just go over and over and over and over in the car. And that year it was Not for Kids Only. So listening to this album really brings me back to that one week in Maine.
I totally feel it though. Listening to this on a car ride, just like falling asleep, just, man, it puts me in a good mood. It's also the type of album that like if I was little, I'd have that one song that I like and I would always like beg my mom to like skip to that song just because I love it so much. It'd probably be Arkansas Traveler. But track 12, oh my God. I almost cried. Almost cried. Those violins. I'm not even kidding you guys. A track almost brought a tear to my eye. It's so amazing. That song does not deserve to be as good as it was when I heard it, because it doesn't sound anything like the rest of the album. Mm. Especially like with the strings and I think choir. This album is so good. It doesn't deserve to be this good, but it is.
Oh, I think it does deserve, considering the talent, you know, behind this album.
It's well played.
And the it's very well played, and just looking at the track listing here, the song choices, Freight Train with the the vocals just making train sounds, Three Men One a Hunting, which is just a very fun little catchy song. Obviously, you know, Teddy Bear's Picnic is a classic.
What's funny is it's not even a gripe, it's just I noticed it almost all the songs start with boom, boom, boom. Like, almost every song starts with
I
that.
I felt like I was in, like, a time warp. Like, every song starts pretty much the same.
If I had to nitpick a little bit, I think some of the songs go on a little too long. Mm. Just a tad.
I'd agree.
But it's the charisma and charm of it is so solid and just makes me feel so happy that I don't really care. It's just a nitpick if I had to gripe about something.
I agree that it is charming. The only real song that gets on my nerves, like Hot Corn, Cold Corn, like, I just think it's kind of incessant. Like, I just don't think it's very fun or very enjoyable.
It seems more like a sing-along kind of thing.
Like a bunch of kids or whatever. Yeah,
like sing-along kids.
Because this isn't geared towards being, you know, obviously, like, this is not for kids only, but it's mostly for kids. You know what I mean?
It's set up in a way, they're doing the Disney formula where parents can not be annoyed by it. They can kind of enjoy it,
kids can listen to it for the funny little song topics, and parents can listen to it for, you know, the mandolin playing and stuff like that.
See, for me, it was kind of the reverse. I think, like, I enjoyed the vocal performances on here much more. The biggest drawback for this album, for me, was the instrumentals. This is just not a sound that I'm that into. I'm really not a huge...
Not a bluegrass guy?
Not a huge bluegrass guy. Yeah. I didn't really grow up with it or anything. Never really enjoyed it growing up. Just kind of a sound that, you know, my brain just doesn't get into. And I have just a hard time getting to it on here. And because we're looking at 50 minutes of songs where the songwriting's good, I enjoy the performances and the topics of almost every song, the only one being Hot Corn, Cold Corn, that I think is annoying. I can't get into the playing. I can't even admire it for some, because I just get kind of annoyed by it sometimes.
What about the last track? Because I wouldn't call that more bluegrass.
I'm not nearly as hot on it as you are. I actually think it's like another one of my least favorites, just because.
Oh, really? It's like, so good.
Like, it's pretty, but I don't know. I'm just not that into it. Like, I don't really like the playing around it. I wasn't really looking forward to an 8-minute cut on here, and I was kind of met with my expectations.
I was originally, but then the strings hit, and I was like, whoa, this is pretty awesome.
Like, don't get me wrong. It's not, I wouldn't even call it, I would just call it okay. Like, I don't think it's terrible. Nothing on here is terrible besides Hot Corn, Cold Corn. Sorry, that song annoys me to no end. If I had favorites on here, Teddy Bear's Picnic, classic. There Ain't No Bugs On Me, far away favorite.
Ooh, that's a good
awesome
one.
Awesome
good
song. One. That one's actually really, really great.
Boom, what about boom, the, boom. Like, the dad jokes on Arkansas Traveler?
They're okay.
My favorite point on the entire album is... they say, hello, stranger. Well, hello there, stranger. But the way he goes, well, hello there, stranger. Like, at one point, like, he just, like...
or the way he says...
The way he just super, like, over the top. Like, there's so... It's kind of like the Tenacious D thing, where it's, like, two guys just sitting down goofing off. Yeah. But this time, it's two old dudes playing bluegrass music.
Which, honestly, the way Tenacious D's going, it's probably how they're going to end up, too. But going back off that, the way he responds, where he's like... Hey there, stranger. Like, he's getting a little annoyed by it. It's like, oh, not you. Stop following me. It's such a funny song. And it's like kind of in the halfway point. Oh, that was so funny.
I don't know. It's not. It's like, it's just not for me. It's like, that's the conclusion I draw when I'm listening to this thing. It's like, this is not gear for me. And the more I listen to it, the more damage I'm just going to do to it. But like, the worse I'm going to think of it because I'm listening to it so much and I don't want to.
What do you think of the playing itself, though?
I mean, the playing is fine. They're following music theory. Like, they're instead, like, nothing's out of time. There's nothing that's like, that's, you know, this is way louder than this, or this, you know, instrument sounds like garbage. It's fine. It's just not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, that is 100% my conclusion with this thing. I cannot feel anything other than I do not want to listen to this, not because it is bad, but because I do not want to listen to it. Mm-hmm. It's just not. You know, it's not even in regards to the show. I've had moods like that before. It's like, I'm not feeling like listening to this right now. After hearing this, I pretty much never wanted to hear it again.
But not in like
it was terrible, it was awful. It's just like, I'm not interested. I just basically have no interest. It's fine. It's like, as far as like, if I'm thinking about it from like a standpoint of having heard it and trying to talk to someone, like talk to you guys about it, like I am now, like the playing's fine. The song topics, for the most part, are fine. The songwriting's fine. It's fine. You know what I mean? And that's just how I feel. I don't really want to go back to it. I'm not blown away or even really impressed.
I kind of felt the same way Brian did when I was getting ready to listen to it. But once the first track hit, just a wave of nostalgia hit me for many different reasons. Not like maybe how Jacob felt, because I'd never heard of this album before, or I knew who Jerry Garcia was, but I didn't know who David Grisman was.
Jerry Garcia's voice basically is my childhood, because I grew up, like, my mom and stepdad are huge Deadheads, so just Grateful Dead all the time. So this basically is as nostalgic as you could possibly get for me.
And I feel that. I feel that just throughout the entire album, it just makes me feel like I'm on a road trip and I'm just waiting for us to get there. But like them, I don't know, man. Strong eight. This is an awesome album.
I really appreciate your appreciation, Chaz. For me personally, I'm going to go with like a really solid seven on this. I do love a lot of the songs here, but I do think that overall the album does go on a little bit long. Some of the tracks, especially on the back half, go on a little bit too long as well. But the run of like five songs from Three Men Went A-Hunting all the way down to Teddy Bear's Picnic, tracks 4 through 8, are just a fantastic run of songs there. And again, Arkansas Traveler is just
amazing.
Funny.
It's
just
so
like
great.
it's the kind of vibe you get where like Brian, I don't know if you would be able to relate to this or you at all, but like, you know, if you have a really ornery Appalachian grandpa, the kind of jokes that you would hear, That's kind of what this album is.
I relate tenfold.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's kind of a personal connection I could make to this.
Well, like
one.
I said, it just made me feel like if they were performing this in front of kids, like that'd be the song where the kids would wait for it, they'd do the joke, and then they would just laugh. They don't know why they're laughing, but they would laugh, and then they keep playing. It's just awesome. I really love the vibe, and I like the album cover too. I love that art style. That's what I was saying about it. It made me remind me of like 70s animation. You know, like you could see.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
Uh-oh.
Disappoint us, Brian. Disappoint me.
Feeling a decent 5. Oh, not for kids only. That's just how I feel. It's not bad. It's not, but I don't think it's great or even. It's completely personal on this one.
You
like,
gave
it's,
it the meh stamp
it's,
of
it's,
approval.
It's really just like a meh for me. I'm sorry, man. I just couldn't get into it. I couldn't even, after hearing it, when I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and hear this today, I didn't even want to hear it again. Like, I just was like, oh, like, I know how I feel about this, pretty much.
Recommendation for you, Chaz. They also recorded a few other albums.
Yeah, they've done a lot together.
Listen to Shady Grove, the album that came out after this. It's not a children's album. It's a lot of stuff. It's like just traditional music.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional, like, ballads, like, pre-industrial era kind of folk music. And if you really, really enjoy the vibe on this album, and especially like the last track, the sense of, I guess, history on the last track, where it feels very, I don't really know what word I'm trying to think of to describe
it.
But
you
know what I'm talking about? Like there's a lot of weight mm-hmm. behind it.
It's fat.
It's what?
It's fat. A lot of weight. Go on.
That didn't even land. I don't even know what that was trying to be. That wasn't even good.
I love the, as soon as you said it, you were like, move on. Like, you didn't even hesitate. You were like, that was bad.
You didn't
bad.
Even try, but
the
like,
real, the, I died when you said what. Like, that was the end of that.
But yeah, listen to Shady Grove. It's
for sure.
It's got that same vibe that I'm having a hard time putting my finger on.
Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Salad. Yummy, yummy.
The album I've picked is Yummy Yummy, released in 1994 by famous children's band from Australia, The Wiggles. The Wiggles is a band that honestly does not need introduction. We've all grown up with The Wiggles at some point. We've all heard at least one song by them. They're well known for their, well, very cheap, very charming television show that I personally did grow up with for a while. They do very like sing-along karaoke songs. I don't think they write. I think some of their songs are original.
I'm pretty sure they are, because they were originally in a band,
a lot
like
of them
a
were
pub band before they started the Wiggles, and I feel like a lot of these songs have obvious influences from like 60s pop.
Yeah,
you know,
but the song topics and are very like, come on, kids, do this thing with us. And that's what makes them so unknown. When they do concerts, they just have all the crowds join along with whatever they're doing. It's brilliant.
I wonder how many crunchy, munchy honey cakes they end up with.
God,
after everybody.
That song is fire. That song is fire. Sorry.
All right, okay, let's. Before we get into it, I want to talk about when this album was released. So let's talk about what other albums came out in 1994. You ready? Dookie, Definitely Maybe, MTV Unplugged, Illmatic, The Downward Spiral,
Parklife,
Weezer, Live Through This, Super Unknown, Dummy, Ready to Die, Grace by Jeff Buckley, Jars of Flies, Mellow Gold, and Yummy Yummy, The Wiggles. What a weird time for this band to release this album.
Crowded Field. I don't think they made the decision with that context. Something tells me that they didn't do
this
that.
This is going to be one of the greatest years for music of all time, and we have to get on this right now.
They've been around since 91.
The Yellow Wiggle kicked in the door of their townhouse and was like, Illmatic just dropped. What are we waiting for?
How do we respond?
Guys, Kurt Cobain died in 1994, and Yummy Yummy was released. That is...
coincidence? I think not.
It just blows my mind how that works.
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
I don't know what the point of this
is. It's just amazing to think that, like, on the same year that the Blue album released, Yummy Yummy...
the same year that Trent Reznor went into the depths of the human psyche on the downward spiral, the Wiggles taught everyone how to make crunchy, munchy honey cakes.
It's no coincidence. The problem is the greater the album released in that year, the worse the next one has to be.
Ooh.
So, like, I think... didn't we get... when did Corey Feldman's Angelic to the Core... was that after T-Pab, the year after?
And no, 2015 still. I think it was the same year.
No way. That's incredible.
Anyway, so... coming to this album, I was actually very excited because I do really enjoy the Wiggles. I think they're one of the better figures out there. You know what I mean?
I think they're one of the better bands of all time. I was just waiting.
No. Just when you think of what kids are watching these days, I think they're one of the better ones. That's just a personal opinion of mine.
Yeah, the Wiggles are super wholesome and they're fun and they're like...
and they do the brilliant... They do the Blues Clues formula. Let's get the kids up and doing stuff so that tires them out so they'll go to bed quicker. I love it. It's genius. So let's just take this track by track. What a banger of an opening. Hot potato. And then like...
it's like a 50s dance song. You
it
know?
Is.
Like,
yeah.
And I love... it's amazing how the singer starts, but then when he does it the second time, the band joins in. Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato. It's amazing.
I love the other ones. It's like, my favorite was Mashed Banana. It's like, who
is
that?
Smash Banana. I love their accents.
I love how Australian this album is.
They're very Australian.
Then we got Shaky Shaky, just like I said.
It's okay.
Kids moving.
It's got kind of like a 60s country vibe with the steel guitar in it. I enjoy it quite a bit.
And then Fruit Salad.
A classic.
I mean... damn, 5 stars.
Can't beat Fruit Salad. Although, about to expose the Wiggles, Come On, Let's Jump has the same chord progression. You could literally sing the Fruit Salad melody before the chorus of it on the verse. It's the same melody. Got you. Found you out, Wiggles.
What is wrong with you?
You figured it out.
You've ruined it. I love Fruit Salad.
No, Fruit Salad is the better one. It's just probably like, well...
is it the best song on the album?
Yes.
Yeah, no, probably.
It's not.
Yes.
Oh, my
Veil
God.
Is the
what
best
you
song on the album. Veil is a beautiful instrumental.
Really?
Yes.
Veil, wow. The 46-second instrumental that I could make is better than Fruit Salad. A classic that not even the greatest mind in production could recreate. I mean, maybe Crunchy Munchy Honey Cakes is better. Maybe. Actually, my favorite's Food Poem.
I quite enjoy the monkey dance.
No, my favorite...
oh, Food Poem.
No. My favorite...
Numbers joke.
My favorite was Numbers joke. I just love that. They're like, ha, 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 ha. And they're like, wow, did we really just do that?
I love the laughter right after it. Numbers joke is a 10 out of 10.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
100%. I would give a Food Poem.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yummy.
I'm serious, though.
I've
thoroughly enjoyed Veil. I was a very pleasant surprise on it.
I mean,
so when I was listening to this thing, but this for me was just a lot of these songs I had heard in their television show. So just hearing them again just made me feel like a kid again. I don't know how to describe it.
I like to think of the Chase instrumental as the prequel to Knife Chase from Tom Waits' 2002 Blood Money. Just like to do that. Sorry, go on.
I want to make the point that the band that jumped to mind as a comparison, I got some like They Might Be Giants vibes.
Oh, absolutely.
Just based on the cheap kind of sounding of the instrumentation, which is reminiscent of like the early They Might Be Giants catalog. And then just the variety of like styles. They do like pastiches of like a bunch of different things. You know, you got the Numbers rumba. You've got the monkey dance. You've got like the folk ballad about ponies. You've got some accordion, which is more like They Might Be Giants mm-hmm. style. Walk, which is like a call and response soul track. Mm-hmm. The variety here in this album is just a tad over 30 minutes. It keeps the whole thing from becoming boring, I think, at any point.
It's pretty much never boring, I would agree. Like, and that's in the varieties.
And it's short. It's like 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, so it doesn't overstay its welcome at all. The tracks are short, too. Like, if a lot of these tracks were set, like, think about the unity of sound on Not For Kids Only. If that were here, ooh, man, this thing would be a slog. Like, because every song is like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and it's just back to back to back. It would all sound the same, but, like, because they...
It's smart. They knew not to make it too long.
And it's cool. There's a lot of, like, colorful expression on here that's, like, I think is helping the songs out. Like, I think when they're writing these songs, they are enjoying themselves. Oh, you know what I mean? I don't think these are just... It's like, come on, we write this kid's song. It's like, you know... They
wanted to do this, yeah.
They like making music like this.
They've had new members, but there's... Today, the present, they're still touring and making music.
I'm actually reminded of some of the Beatles' less serious moments on here. That's a really, yeah, that's
it's
a
very
really
60s pop influence.
Had no idea if that comparison was going to land here. Like, I'm like, I big bang a Yellow Submarine on this thing.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think which is the best Beatles.
The funniest song is Where's Thumbkin? Because they're essentially telling the kids at one point, flip us off. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, yeah, with the fingers.
It was like, where's the long one? And all the kids are like, right here.
They start with that one, which is very bold.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's enjoyable. I don't even know what else to say. Like, it's just, it's honestly pretty good.
It's definitely enjoyable.
I'm looking on Wikipedia, so I think they actually wrote a lot of these songs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Ghostwriters.
They were musicians writing music before they became the Wiggles.
Well, because the chord progressions are from, like, nursery rhymes. Nursery rhymes.
It's fairly simple composition. You know, it's not like they're doing anything wild and crazy on these tracks here, but you know that the energy is infectious, the personality is there. There's a lot of charm, and if I was like a parent, this would be something that I would go to because it's not one note. It's never annoying.
Absolutely,
it's never like
this is fine
incessant.
On a car ride. You know,
yeah, like, this would be something that you could choose.
What really saves it is the how quick it is. It's like 35.
Yeah, minutes. And I like how there are so many like sub 1 minute. Songs mm-hmm. on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're taking cues from, you know, maybe the Minutemen on this album.
They work. I don't know if I would cite that as an influence.
I'm reaching.
The interludes are in pretty good spots. It's basically like two or three songs, get a little break here. You know what
yawn,
I mean?
Yawn, yawn, yawn is a great closer.
It's a pretty good closer.
Because the kids have been moving their ass off this entire time. Now they got to sleep.
You're assuming.
And the Wiggles knew that. The Wiggles knew.
They're very, you know, empathetic.
Absolutely.
Right. The foresight on this album. All right. I'm feeling probably a decent 7 on the
same
Wiggles.
Here. Strong 7.
I'm going to give this album a 6, and I'll explain why. You know, it's like a solid to strong 6.
Well, I understand, because think about your 7s in general. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You know, I definitely enjoyed this thing. I would say it's good all the way through. Am I going to come back to the Wiggles that often?
Well, my guess my 7 is the same thing, but the nostalgia and just my love for this band as a kid and just an adult.
There are some songs that I love for sure, like Fruit Salad is, you know, that I have a lot of nostalgia for that one.
That
and
one
also
could
Hot
be
Potato.
Like a They Might Be Giant song. There are a few on here that stand out, like Fruit Salad and, like, I mean, I'm telling you, man, Crunchy Munchy Honey Cake.
I like Shake Your Sillies Out.
Shake Your Sillies Out.
I enjoy that one.
I love Dorothy the Dinosaur. I love this, her in the back being like,
that one's pretty
good.
Oh,
that one has a nice, like, sing-along chorus, too.
It does. Like, there's a touch of nostalgia in this for me, because I used to watch The Wiggles a little bit. I had a weird, like, period of my life where I would fall asleep watching Whose Line Is It Anyway and wake up watching The Wiggles. It was very strange, but I remember that.
No wonder you're so damn funny.
I'm great.
You just absorbed all of
their
that
powers.
Television.
That's why they disbanded, actually.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
Well, move on. Just go away from this joke.
But, Yeah, I'm going to give this a 6 because I'm not going to come back to it all that often. And it's not like any of these songs, with the exception of a handful, are doing anything all that wild or crazy or memorable. They're just enjoyable. Mm-hmm. It's an enjoyable all the way through album that you could put on and have a nice 30 plus minutes with. It's not something that I'm going to, you know, point out and say, oh my gosh, did you know Wiggles can really compete with some of the greatest music. Like, I'm not going to go there, but it is a very, very nice album. So yeah, like it's like a strong six, but there are a few tracks on here that are like, you know, like Fruit Salad is like a solid like 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm looking at it like in a vacuum where it's kind of like I'm not even considering this for like there are other stuff that I listen to a 7 that's way better than this. It's in it's a whole other league, but like I guess I'm looking at this in a vacuum, kind of like it's a children's album. I would it, on what planet is it realistically going to enter? And I think that's a preconceived notion that I have no trouble committing to. You know what I mean? It's like if I see a Wiggles album and people, no one in their right mind is going to be like, this Wiggles album as good as some of my favorites of all time or even close.
Well, someone in their right mind could.
Sure. But I mean, well, I guess.
Because they're a competent band.
I shouldn't say in their right mind. I just say realistically, because most people, I don't think most people that are into music or that are, if you're into music enough to rate your favorites of all time, you're probably not considering
it. It brings a conversation that, you know, about the theme of this episode that I think that, you know, we could address and talk about just a little bit here. Like how serious this topic is, because some, you know, you might say, "Oh, children's album, oh, it's just going to be a joke episode." I feel like
children's media in general, like, oh, it's for kids, so we can half-ass it. No, like the best, some of the best stuff is made for kids because they take it so seriously.
Right. I think that is looking at it a bit too simply. You know, if you just write everything off, because just like anything, there are people behind it. And just because they're making a kid's album or whatever else it might be, like a TV show or a movie or whatever, I mean, just look at, you know, Disney or something like Phineas and Ferb, which is a great TV show. You know, there's people behind it, and they might be putting a lot of thought and effort into it. It's not for kids only, I would say. So we can judge it by that and put it up next to everything else that we might be listening to, because there is still creativity and hey, who knows how much people enjoy themselves while making
the Wiggles
these
are doing
albums.
Like when we're talking about like music that we listen to and this type of music, the Wiggles are doing something that's incredibly difficult to make something that kids can actually enjoy and get something out of and learn something from and the parents can enjoy. You know, that's really hard to do and to do it well. And I think they've done that. They've accomplished that pretty well here. And they're still doing it. Like, this isn't even their best album, I guess you could say. It's just the one that had Fruit Salad on it, so I had to pick it.
Right.
That's the song.
And
that's
it's classic Wiggles, too. It's early, like 1994. Like, we're really getting, like, the golden age of Wiggles here.
Mm-hmm. So for them to pull that off very well and still doing it, it, like, that's why I want to give it a 7, because it's fun. Like, if I become a parent, I'm like, yeah, I'll put this on for them. I'll definitely go back to Not For Kids Only, too, because I will definitely listen to that on a car ride, for sure. Teletubbies? Maybe.
We've got a lot to talk about with Teletubbies.
One day in Teletubby Land, it was time for a song all about Dipsy's hat.
I picked the album by the Teletubbies. It's called The Album. It's 50 minutes.
When was it released?
It was released in, I don't know.
98. Fake fan.
He knew. He wasn't even asking you a question. He was testing you.
Yeah. It's timeless, really.
Very true.
It's Teletubbies, if you don't know. Super weird children's cartoon. Somehow made it
favorite
to the States.
Favorite kid's show growing up, so it's about to get steamy.
I have no idea how they allowed this to air in the United States.
Stop! You know why? It was the perfect show for kids with, like, ADHD, because we're just so distracted all the time.
It's a surreal...
It's a trip.
It's a great show.
Strange.
It's so weird.
You know who my favorite Teletubbies was? The green one.
Oh, know her name. Why don't you?
Dipsy.
Dipsy? Dipsy's the worst.
Dipsy.
Excuse me?
Dipsy is like slobbering and
Poe, that fat red one who doesn't do is the worst.
Poe is gross. I don't like Tinky Winky's voice. It makes me uncomfortable.
Dipsy's voice makes me uncomfortable. Dipsy's voice, like, okay. I have a lot to say about this album.
Me too, Jacob.
Okay.
Let's go.
This album is a strange. I mean, okay. Whatever else it might be, and whatever else I say from this point forward, it is unique. I can't think of a single other experience with the exception of Waking the Witch on Kate Bush's 1985 classic Hounds of Love, that is this surreal, strange, and frightening all at once.
It plays like an actual episode of Teletubbies.
This is like a weird journey. It's like you get these really cheap, like, MIDI compositions. I'm pretty sure it's MIDI, the whole album. And, like, the kind of music that you might hear at a carnival or, like, in a, like, a children's show or a children's, like a video game for three-year-olds kind of thing. And then on top of all this, you get the voices of the Teletubbies, which are...
Beautiful. Stop.
No.
You're wrong.
No, they are... It's hard to even describe.
I love them. You know who sucks is the...
And you get a very monotone narrator over... And it is.
Oh, I love him. Dipsy's hat. Fancy that.
It's like he's speaking directly to you. And then to add on to that, you get like these like sound effects that just pop. like I'm remembering specifically. Okay.
Clearly,
what happens on the theme song when there are sheep. Baas,
yeah,
that just come in and it's like bah bah, bah. Like
I love it
just, it's like
so
they're playing.
Awesome.
It's like you know, like the kids things where like you have like animal sound maker. It's like they're just playing with that and just going crazy with that.
It's
and
broken.
There's like these squelchy sounds and Dipsy's voice.
I love
that
it.
Just like he's like slurring his words, like he's like he's. I don't know. He is affected by some substance, and overall, this is just. This is just insane. And it has, to be fair, the nonsense is broken up by some actually very nice ambient cuts.
Yes,
on this
very
album.
True.
Easily the most surprising part is when these ambient cuts come. You're like, wait, what?
And the thing that the closest comparison I can make to these ambient cuts is the Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack. I was really reminded, especially on like Clouds, where the melody... was very like new age-esque and you have this piano going on. It really reminded me of like Super Mario Galaxy. And the same thing goes for Tree and...
Tree grew on me with listens. Like it only really got better. Like normally this was kind of a boring moment for me on the album. Like right in the middle, it's just kind of like, all right, we just need a few, let's recover from Dipsy's hat. But now it's like, you know, now it's actually probably like, I don't know, I would almost call it a great moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice. You have this piano arpeggiated melody.
Animals
as well.
And
it builds, and they add some chimes and some, like, pan flute. All of this is MIDI. You know, I'm saying these instruments. It's like, the cheap, you know, MIDI version of them. But it's still nice, and it adds, you know, it creates this atmosphere that is fairly unique. You're probably not going to hear stuff like this with this particular sound, this sort of cheap... sound. It has a quality of its own that is worth pointing out that, you know, you may not hear stuff like this all that often.
Hey, guess what? The album single, Teletubbies Say Eh-Oh.
They had a single?
Yeah.
Was number one in the UK.
Yep.
That song isn't, it's just wild.
Those goat noises are crazy.
They're like squelching sounds,
it's
and then
the
like
theme
the
song,
sheep
bars
that's like ba 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 ba. It's, and then like they pack so many instruments into like 3 minutes.
It's amazing.
And
then the breakdown where it's like,
I don't think it's good. I don't like it.
Right.
I love it.
But
because it's so nostalgic for me, I love the show. It's like one of my favorites. It was this, Blue's Clues, and Barney for me growing up.
I don't ever want to hear it again, but it's certainly puzzling. another puzzling moment is Dirty Knees,
yes.
Which begins with some slurping sounds and like strange electronic like Blade Runner noises.
It's the vacuum. You remember the little guy?
No, that slurps up all the Teletubbies.
He's like,
custard.
Give me your custard.
But then the narrator's... Two dirty knees. Two dirty knees.
Yeah,
it's like an occult chant.
Right, and clearly there's a narrative here of becoming part of the cult, because everyone's knees are getting dirty. You look upset. I don't like how dumb they are on this track.
clearly there's a narrative here.
They all get dirty knees.
Can we talk about
Poe gets disgusting dirty. The narrator is flat out like...
He's the worst. He's an idiot.
He is flat out like, Poe is gross.
It goes on for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a little long.
It's a lot long. Because the music underneath this song is just like strange carnival background game music.
Hypnagogic pop.
This is, I swear to God. And then Twisty Dance.
Twisty Dance sucks.
It's, I don't think, it could be worse.
I think it's the worst song on here. It's so boring. And
I hate the Teletubbies voices, but we do get like,
can we talk
MIDI
about the
banjo drums and like xylophone? Like I all across this album, they are introducing a lot of different instrumental ideas, even if the song structures are roughly the same, which is
non-existent.
You know, it's there are redeeming factors to this. Like I'm just heated because this has been an experience like no other, and I have no other way to describe.
Can we talk about the best song on the album, Dipsy's Fancy Hat?
That's not, no.
It's awesome.
That's not a good song. It has the catchiest chorus, but that does not, that
you didn't
does
like,
not.
Fancy that.
You didn't like the interlude where it's like the hat blows away and then just like lands in front of Dipsy and he's like, oh, hell yeah.
I hate Dipsy. I just can't get
Why?
Past Dipsy.
It's his voice?
That's a wrong opinion, sir.
I want Dipsy to be kicked down a well.
Jesus Christ. It's a Teletubby.
No, his voice, because you can tell
you
what his
voice
is.
You need to watch the Boobahs. They're far worse. Think Teletubbies, but like actually in hell.
This is hell.
No,
this
no,
is
this
hell.
Is purgatory. This is clearly purgatory.
No, this is like a strange. This is.
You know that scene in Pirates of the Caribbean where Jack Sparrow's like in this beach world and like he has a bunch of clones of himself? That's purgatory. That's this
Ooh,
album.
That is a great comparison. I don't know how we got here.
The worst moment on the whole album is on Jumping for Fun when Dipsy says "beautiful flower." But he says it like, and I can't do
beautiful
it justice.
Flower.
Beautiful flower.
It's, like it's to be consumed.
It makes me so happy.
It makes me uncomfortable.
God, it just makes me want to watch an episode of the Teletubbies.
That's the
again.
Point. That's the point where like Tinky's voice really disturbs me. Because everyone else is like, you know, Jumping for Flower. Like they all have pretty reasonably kind of childish voices. But like Tinky is a man. Like he comes in, like, you know.
Dipsy is a man.
We get
slurs his words and has a slight lisp. That's all. Dipsy is like this strange British dude who has a lisp and says words.
And is there a problem with that?
Yes, there is a problem.
There's kind
with
of a
problem.
It's a little like Dipsy doesn't, but like Tinky comes in and he's like,
well, great,
Tinky
you
Winky.
You just lost half our fan base there, Jacob. I hope you're happy.
He comes in and he's like, Tinky Winky jumps for fun. And it's like, jump for whatever you want. Like, you just you keep jumping if that's going to keep.
For, just don't jump near me.
Yeah, just jump if you're not going to hurt.
He's the biggest one, too. So
I don't know. Okay, so Jacob's, you know, he's had his bit. Animal, what'd you think of Animals? That's probably my favorite ambient track.
Animals was actually pretty nice.
Ships is great too. Coming off Puddle Dance, which is actually like kind of an awful song.
Yes, yes.
But then like Ships, like Dirty Knees, even though it's a little long. Twisty Dance sucks. The first half of this album, not great. But pretty much from Dipsy's Hat on, it's never like as grating as a Puddle Dance or a Twisty Dance.
Jumping for Fun.
Jumping for Fun is fine. It's long. It's a little long. But like other than that, I enjoy this track. Follow My Leader is like another kind of memo. The album ends pretty strong, in my opinion, with Clouds and Lullaby, which are
Clouds
both,
is far and away the best song.
They're both really, really good songs.
Like, that could be
Tree.
A great moment on, like, a video game soundtrack.
If I'm being earnest here, the best tracks, in my opinion, are the ambient ones, but Dipsy's Fancy Hat is my favorite track. I just, like, this, to me, is, like, another moment where we're getting, like, a They Might Be Giants vibe, where it's, like, this could have been a song by them. Especially, I love the banjo on this track so much as we get into, like, the awesome
it
Dipsy.
It just reminds me of the Banjo-Kazooie soundtrack. Love
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a very similar banjo sound.
I get a vibe
sound.
From that. Also,
even though it's a MIDI banjo, I do think it sounds good. It does sound cheap, but it does. It sounds
well, that's
good.
The kind of sound
my
you get on
banjo. Song is the Teletubbies theme. That's a classic for me.
A quick point about Animals, which I do think points to the fact that there was thought and creativity put behind this. It's composed like you get these little stretches where you have one instrument come in and then it goes away and then you have another instrument come in and then it goes away and then every time there's a different animal sound. And I think that the sonically it changes based on which animal it is, and it changes to match kind of like the region that the animals are in.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like different, like there's like an Asian flair, there's like a little Middle Eastern flair, while animals from those areas are sounding off their noises. And that's kind of an interesting concept for an ambient song.
Look, we're kind of veering back into the discussion we're having at the end of the Wiggles here, but like this is kind of more up my alley as far as these children's albums go. It's a little, for me, in my opinion, I'm not trying to take away anything else from these other albums. It's a totally subjective point of view. This one's more creative. And I like this. I like just how strange it is. I just identify with that strangeness in a way that's kind of like, this is cool. I don't think too many people are really messing with this right now. So it's like, okay, this is kind of cool. And you know, there's some meme here. There's some meme culture here that I enjoy too. But like mostly, I just kind of enjoy this thing. And I feel and like it feels weird saying that, but I don't know. Like a lot of the ambient cuts go over pretty well. I can't think of a bad one on here. Some of the actual children's songs are, like Puddle Dance and Twisty Dance, like pretty bad.
That's
honestly,
the thing. They're not even children's songs. Like I said, did any of you actually watch the Teletubbies growing up?
Yeah.
No, not really.
This plays like an Audible episode. It's not saying, like, the Wiggles, it's a clear, like, song, like, sing along, and hey, kids, join in. This is more just embodies what the show is all about.
I would say this, kid shows are always skit to skit to skit to skit. We're just hopping from bit to bit to bit to fill 30 minutes to keep kids entertained. Both of these shows do that. Teletubbies is, like, a weird trip, though. Like, Wiggles, mm-hmm. It's like, here's a segment, here's a clear cutaway. Teletubbies, I remember, would cut away from the end of one segment, just a stagnant shot of a hill for, like, 10 seconds,
uh-huh.
And we'd be right back. And I don't know if it's the next day. Like, the sun never sets. Like, that baby comes up in the
morning. That's what made it so cool. It did things that no children's show would ever do.
It's dreamlike. I mean, it is.
It's strange. I just enjoy how strange it is.
I would be glued to the screen watching the show.
I get the appeal of not for kids only. You know what I mean? And it's not like I didn't like see those things growing up or what have you. Like, you know, bluegrass music or that kind of humor. Like, but it's just not something that I really enjoy all that much anymore. And when it comes to my music anyway, you know, I prefer a Wiggles or a Teletubby, just a kind of silly, really catchy vibe. With the Wiggles more so catchy, with the Teletubbies kind of strange, you know what I mean? That's kind of where my two worlds meet in music, is like this, you know, kind of really
strange. There's some great things that could be sampled by any artist that you listen to, Brian. This is
someone
ripe for the pickings.
I need that banjo sample, like, now. Like,
this is ripe for the pickings.
I just want to see what they could do with Dipsy's hat. But, you
know, Death Grips collab when?
Soon. Like, I at the end of the day, like, honestly,
this was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed the majority of stuff we listened here today, for this episode.
So, to dip into what I guess you call this market, it's interesting to see, like, how some do it better than others, I think. It could be so easy to just make some crap and, like, say, just write it off as, it's for kids. It's like shaking the keys in front of them. They'll get distracted. No, that's a horrible way to feel. And I don't think any of these albums had that attitude.
Mm, I agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
This would keep, any of these albums would keep the kids' attention, but each for a different reason. Jacob's Pick would keep a kid's attention because of how charming it is and fun it is, and it would just be a blast to listen to.
It's the most, and not to say the other ones are dumb, but it's the most intelligent.
But like, the Wiggles do it where it's more like they have the kids involved, and that's always helps. Where it's like, hey, sing along with us, dance with us, like, have this fun. The Teletubbies, the kid will hear this and be like,
like, kids, yeah, this is like they'll just be staring off.
I gotta be honest, I don't know what the Teletubbies album will do for a kid. I'd be kind of scared to play it near.
Well, no, I can tell you, from a kid who
get glassy eyed,
from a man who watched this growing up, this plays literally like an Audible episode. So it would be the exact same experience, just no visuals. It would just be all Audible.
The visuals would help. I've seen the Dipsy's hat video. It's like this big cowboy hat with like cowskin pattern.
It's so awesome. It's insane. He was my favorite.
Screw Dipsy and screw his hat, too.
Jacob, I will crack your spaghetti knees.
You can be mad about Dipsy, but not about Dipsy's hat. What did his hat do? It's sentient.
It's sentient?
Yeah.
It always blows off. Dipsy has like a needle head, and yet the hat always seems to blow off. It's amazing.
It's more of a narrative thing. The hat leaves, but it always comes back. You know what I mean?
It's
complicated.
It's kind of an abusive relationship.
Right.
But I'm glad that they're teaching kids about that at a young age. It's important.
But they teach them to keep coming back.
This album is a 4 out of 10. If some of these songs grew on me, maybe it would be a 5.
I just don't think they will.
But I don't have any desire to ever return to this.
I could really only give this a 7. I was a little more impressed with it, like enjoyed it more my first few listens, but like Twisty Dance and Puddle Dance are nearly terrible. Like, man, they are pretty bad songs. Like, when they come on, I really just want to skip them. But it's between, like, and most of the, and I agree, actually, that most of the actual kids songs on here, the ones with the Teletubbies singing, are range from average to good, in my opinion. So, like, Dirty Knees would be, like, a really average moment, along with Follow My Leader. But I think Jumping for Fun and Dipsy's Hat are really good. I'd call Dipsy's Hat great. I really enjoy that song. And all the ambient cuts go over pretty well with me. Ships, Animals, and Clouds, and Tree. Like, they're all, honestly, really, really good. They're... would I think anyone who listens to this would probably rank them pretty high.
Yeah, know? That's a definite pleasant surprise for sure.
But I could really only give it a 7, you know, light to decent, I guess, but because there's really some bad parts on here, honestly. Like, Puddle Dance is a hard intro to get through sometimes, but like the rest of the album is not that bad.
They slobber a lot.
They do. They are some drooly.
That's part of why I hate. They just slobber and like slur everything. They're like a weird, just like group of drunken.
Just bathe.
Yeah, please.
Just bathe.
Please.
8. I love this album. I'm a huge fan of Teletubbies. Have been. And just listening to this was just brought me back when we lived in Maysville. Just pop in that VHS and watch it all the time.
You had the tapes. I watched on cable. I was not that hardcore.
I was hardcore. It was my favorite show. Second to Blue's Clues. Like, it was my favorite
Blue's
show.
Blue's Clues is infinitely better.
Like, far and away better, honestly.
Blue's Clues.
I'm not denying
Steve
you,
Steve was my hero.
Dude, Joe came in and, like, he was doing okay.
Joe was all right, but Steve.
Joe was doing what he could.
Can we talk about that Steve makes music?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he left.
It's very poppy cuts, though.
I heard so many reasons why he left growing up.
They're all fake. It's all just rumors.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, next week.
This album is pretty amazing, and it's an 8 because I probably will come back to some of these cuts, for sure.
I do go back to Dipsy's Hat, like, no, like, not even kidding, like, I'll get the craving, like, man, I really want to hear Dipsy's Hat.
I probably will only go back to Clouds.
That's fair.
So next week, it's a regular episode, and we're going to have a guest as well, Wyatt Melton, also here at Morehead State Public Radio, and just a regular episode, so we're all just choosing whatever the heck we want, and I have chosen Elbow's 2008 album, The Seldom Seen Kid.
I'm super excited for that, honestly. This is going to be a dense listening week. We're doing Clarence Clarity's Know Now.
We're doing The Man Machine by Kraftwerk, pretty much the godfathers of all electronic music.
This might be the most electronic week we've done,
which I'm very excited for.
I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Brian Courtney.
Hey.
And Chaz Jenkins.
Hat.
This has been a More to Music Opinions. See you next time. Bye.